Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
We are taking a break from our regularly scheduled sermon series, The Messenger, to bring you a discussion with our special guest, Pastor Joey Faust. He will be the guest preacher this Sunday morning at Crown of Life Baptist Church, meeting at the Cambria Hotel, Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room at 10 o'clock. Please join us as he brings a message on the partialness of the pre-tribulation rapture and what you need to know before the Lord returns in the air for his saints. Brother Joey Faust is the pastor of Long Run Baptist Church in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. On their church property is a youth and family camp called Pure Ozark. He is the author of the renowned work, The Rod, Will God Spare It?, and also The Word, God Will Keep It?, and The History and Defense of Literal Interpretation. He is an intense researcher, and his books are extremely well footnoted with a host of 19th and 20th century preachers, authors, and scholars, including many earlier Christian writers. He is also a scholar in the realm of natural health and church history. His many sermons over the years can be heard and viewed on the website sermonaudio.com. He has been my friend since I was ordained in October of 2001. So welcome, Pastor Foss, to our radio program.
Pastor Greg, it's a blessing to be here, and I look forward to our studies today. It's an honor to be here with you and to be with your church on Sunday.
Amen. Your book, The Rod, Will God Spare It?, has captured the attention of many pastors and preachers and laymen across the country. They either endear it or despise it. There is scarcely a middle ground on this topic of kingdom accountability or millennial exclusion. What experience have you encountered since the publication of your book?
Well, you need to understand, by millennial exclusion and the judgment seat of Christ, which I document in my book, it's dealing with eternal security, that we are eternally secure by grace through faith alone, and you can't lose salvation. Yet, there is a punishment. And so, since we're in the middle of the road, so to speak, believing in eternal security, yet also believing in punishment at the judgment seat of Christ, it's obvious it causes chaos from Arminians and Calvinists, from those that believe in eternal security and those that believe in conditional security. So there's been quite a response since I published the book back in around 2002 or 2003. Many religious magazines and journals, from Baptist to Methodist to Evangelical, have done reviews and critiques, and they've been mostly negative. Jack Van Impe on TBN did a program on my book. He did a whole video about my book. But what's strange is there has been almost no debate. Dan Corner, who stands for Conditional Security, backed out of a debate with me. Peter Ruckman of Fundamental Baptist Group refused to debate. Many of the fundamental publications would not even do more than write one article against it. But they told me they would not discuss it anymore, such as the Biblical Evangelist. So I think there's been shock, but yet the teaching has been covered up. And what people get shocked about is that, and when I say people, I mean Christians, even in modern seminaries, they've been unaware that so many modern Christians, I mean, that so many great Christian leaders of past ages believe these things. Because when they first hear, so you're saying that you're eternally secure by grace through faith alone, yet we can be punished. That sounds like a purgatory, and has nothing to do with a purgatory, because purgatory wasn't invented until the 12th century. It's a Roman Catholic heresy. But what we have here is the teaching that there's real accountability at the judgment seat of Christ. And it doesn't do well in prosperous, spoiled ages. For the first 300 years of Christian history, when Christians were punished, it thrived. Almost every writer believed that there's going to be a blessing and reward to those that suffer for the Lord. And as I show in the first chapter of my book, many great men of God believed that in the latter times, when persecution breaks out again, when the world is falling apart with hurricanes and earthquakes, and people are starting to be shaken, that there would be an awakening, a sobriety that opens up people to this. Roadhouse, a great Baptist leader, says, "God, shake us up. When revival comes, we shall see this truth again." William Berg, one of the first futurists to take the book of Revelation literally, he died in 1866. He says, "The truth is designed to comfort and support believers under persecution, a need and use which I have little doubt the church will before long be called on collectively to experience." Watchman Nee, who suffered under communist China, was a great defender of this truth. Eternal security, yet you can miss the millennial kingdom and be punished at the judgment seat of Christ. Even Charles Spurgeon, that didn't write very much about prophecy, nevertheless said of men like Robert Govett, who stood for this truth, that his books would be appreciated more by future generations And I believe this is what's happening. The people, just to answer the question quickly, or sum it up, the people that have received it are usually people that have been sobered. They've gone through some things where the Lord has brought them to a place of surrender and sobriety, and but yet there are many that will hate this truth.
This study of the Scriptures, an accurate and acute study of the Scriptures, addressed and corrects the great error of Calvinism, also otherwise known as Reformed theology and Arminianism. I don't know if you can elaborate more on that discussion.
Yes, the Calvinist teaches that the warnings in the Bible addressed to believers are really to false professors, meaning that you live your life hoping that in the end you don't find out that you really had a false faith because you did not endure until the end. So there's not a resting in Christ. The Arminian says, and these have battled throughout the ages, you know, the Arminian says that no, you can lose your salvation and you need to live your life making sure that you don't end up being the object of some of these warnings where you don't inherit the kingdom of God, which they take to mean you lose your salvation in eternity. What this teaching does is it takes the best of both sides, and I believe it is the truth. You know, for so long they argued, is Jesus fully man or is he fully God? And the conclusion was from the Bible, he is both. Even in science, they argued, is light a wave or is it a particle? Well, it has properties of both.
Right.
In the same way, the Word of God, which is light pictures the Word of God, it has the fact that there is an eternal kingdom that is free by grace through faith alone, yet you can miss the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year kingdom that precedes the eternal kingdom. So Satan likes to swing us from one extreme to the other. And he likes to bring you one extreme so you'll run to the opposite extreme. And you'll miss the middle of the boat where the balance and truth is. So I believe this teaching answers the problem on both sides. And it receives the truth on both sides. So that's why many great men of God down through the ages have received it and found that biblical balance.
What is inherently wrong with accepting the teaching that a Christian's walk after their salvation has no bearing at the judgment seat of Christ?
Well, it brings us no accountability. It would be like raising a child with no standards in the home and no warnings and no consequences. We as God's children, as God has adopted us by grace through faith, because of his mercy, through the blood of the Lord Jesus, he nevertheless tells us that we are in the household of God, and there are rules that we need to follow because we love him. But nevertheless, he also gives us other motives. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So he tells you to do everything with an eye on the reward. Earthly rewards or selfish rewards, that's not pictured here. But the Lord tells us about treasure in heaven, and he wants us to seek that treasure. But notice verse 25 of Colossians 3. It says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, when is this that we receive of the wrong? Well, in this context, he says, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, when do we get the reward for our service? Matthew 16, our Lord says, the Son of Man shall come. It's at the second coming. In the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. And Colossians tell us those rewards will be good or bad. That's why our Lord, one of the last words he gives to the churches. In Revelation 22, verse 12, he says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And this is just telling us what is plainly stated in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." We want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We want to be accepted, not in regard to eternal life, which we have as a free gift, but we want the Lord to say, "Well done." We want to be accepted into the prize, the millennial reign, which is a reward, a special time of reward for those who have been faithful and obedient to our Lord. So 2 Corinthians 5 goes on to say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." So you're going to receive a reward. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And the Lord is going to open up the books of your life. And everything we have not repented of after salvation, everything the Lord has seen, he says every idle word that we've spoken, we're going to give an account for. So to answer the question, the idea of living with no accountability, the idea, this age loves that because this is an age which hates accountability. Mm. But the problem is, it's just not biblical. And I do believe it causes some of the chaos that we see today. Many Christians have said, "If I would have known this, I would not have been..." And then you just fill in the blank. "I would have stayed married. I wouldn't have committed adultery. I wouldn't have been a drunkard. If right. I would have known this, you know, this would have changed my life. I didn't know I had an accountability."
Yeah. Yes. So explain to the listeners what's going to occur at the judgment seat of Christ. What is that all about? Where is that going to take place? What is that? When is that? Is that that's future? Is that just figurative, or is that an actual event that will take place?
It is an actual event. The Lord's throne is a literal throne, and he is a literal king. And he is coming. One day, judgment begins at the household of God. And the first thing he is going to do is inspect his people. And we are going to stand in the end times, which could be any day now, the process will begin. And to understand what the judgment seat of Christ is, let's just look at the use of those words in other passages in the Bible. Remember in John 19, it said, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat." There was the judgment seat of Pilate. That's where the Lord was beaten. That's where his crucifixion was ordered. It says in Acts 25, "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged." So the judgment seat of Caesar was a place where there could be punishment. There could be death, execution. The judgment seat of Christ. Why have we downgraded the judgment seat of Christ and stripped it from any real judgment? Paul didn't do that. He said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Why have we turned the judgment seat of Christ into a picnic? Some type of birthday party, you know, where everybody gets a balloon and a piece of cake. This is not biblical. This is not biblical at all.
The judgment seat of Christ, the Greek word is bema, is that correct?
That's the Greek word, yes.
And so the Greek word bema is still used for the judgment seat, Pilate's judgment seat, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it shows us that there can be punishment just as much as there can be reward.
Oh, they love, many of the modern day scholars that are appeasing the people love to say, oh, well, the judgment seat of Christ that we must stand before is the Bema seat. As somehow another speaking in another language just solves the problem. The judgment seat, Caesar's was a judgment, was a Bema seat. All that does is tell you there's judgment.
Amen. Amen. Will believers then appear before the great white throne judgment after the millennial kingdom?
Well, when you look in the book of Revelation, it says that in Armageddon, the Lord comes, he sets up his kingdom, Satan is bound and thrown into the bottomless pit, and then it says there is the thousand-year reign, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 through 6, and they're going to reign with him. If we are faithful, if we have been obedient, we get to reign with the Lord 1,000 years. And then it says, after the 1,000 years, when the earth is going to pass away and there's going to be a new earth, it says that verse 12 of chapter 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open and another book was open. And then it closes with these words, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That implies that there were people at that judgment that are going to be raised up out of the grave, their body, up out of hell where their body has been. There are going to be a great, there's going to be a great company of people that have missed the kingdom that is going to go into the eternal kingdom. And that's why you read in Revelation 21 that he wipes away their tears and there's no more pain and no more death. If everybody inherits the kingdom and gets this first resurrection into the kingdom to reign with the Lord Jesus, if every believer got that, why is he telling you there's no more pain and no more suffering and no more death after the kingdom? No, there will be believers at the great white throne after the kingdom because they missed the millennial kingdom. But now, according to the wonderful promise of God in John 6, that if they only believe, they will be raised up the last day and they will never perish. All their tears will be wiped away. There will be no more pain. And so the Lord is uniting those that have been discarded, excluded from his kingdom. Everyone will be, all the saved, that is, all that have believed in the Lord Jesus and are in the Lamb's Book of Life, everyone on the last day after the 1,000 years will be with God. So the promises of the Bible about eternal security are in reference to this final day after the millennium. But the seventh day that Hebrews talks about, Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, that's the world to come, Hebrews 2:5, which Paul says the book of Hebrews is about. So it says labor to enter into that day and make sure that you don't end up excluded from it, just like they were excluded in the Old Testament, that first generation from the land of Canaan, the promised land. So yes, there will be believers at the judgment, at the great white throne, who have missed the kingdom, but will nevertheless be restored into the family of God, the assembly.
Well, thank you, Pastor Faust, for sharing with our listeners this morning. Could you explain to the listeners before we end here what you're going to preach on this morning?
Yes, it will be on the partial rapture. And the idea that when the Lord Jesus comes, not every believer will be translated, but some will go through the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. And Luke 21:36 says, watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So you have to watch and pray. And the idea that every believer is just going to be raptured, and you talk about believers in history. I've showed in my book how many believed in the partial reign. Well, you would not believe how many believed in the partial rapture.
Wow.
And they try to say, oh, well, it was just a few people. No. In the 1800s and early 1900s, the majority of Christian writers believed that not every believer would be raptured. We left that teaching, brother.
Not many preachers will digest that.
Well, we left that teaching because we've left accountability.
Yes. Yes, I understand. Come to Crown of Life Baptist Church to hear Pastor Joey Foss preach this morning at 10 a.m. How can our listeners find you on social media or the internet?
You could type my name in Facebook, Joey Faust, F-A-U-S-T, S as in Sam, Faust, or joeyfaust.com.
Okay.
Just plain joeyfaust.com, and I have a few books that I offer there, as well as ebooks. And as you said, The Rod, Will God Spare It? As well as The Word, God Will Keep It, about the history of the King James Bible movement. And then I have a history and defense of literal interpretation. That and so those are there.
And then you're also writing about health.
Yes, yes. I love natural health and Bible health and biblical nutrition.
And you have a website on that topic?
Yes, and that'll be listed on that site, joeyfoss.com.
Okay. And let me just leave this note with you. Vote another 4 years of President Donald Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. We need your vote, and this is a contentious battle, and the church will be seriously under attack if we have a new president. Amen?
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.